Hi, this is Ken Nesbitt with PoetryForKids.com, and I have a special poem today. About 20 years ago, an editor asked me if I could write a book in the style of Dr. Seuss. I said, of course. He asked me if I could write a book something like the Dr. Seuss books If I Ran the Zoo and If I Ran the Circus. And I said, of course. So the result was this story on Dinosaur Island. Unfortunately, the style was so similar to Dr. Seuss, I mean, that is what he asked for after all, that he felt he couldn't publish it, or people would just think that I was copying Dr. Seuss. Now, often when I visit schools, and when I'm talking to kids, they will ask me, what's the longest poem you've ever written? And I always tell them it was a poem called On Dinosaur Island, but that it was never published, and so they can't read it. Well, I finally decided that since this poem will never be published in a book, I might as well post it on PoetryForKids.com for you to read, and you can decide for yourself if I succeeded in writing a story in the style of Dr. Seuss. On Dinosaur Island. Just boring old bones, thought young Michael McLeam. I can't figure out who would want to come see 'em. And here, said Miss Jones, if you'll step right this way. And she pointed to some rather dusty display. We are showing a dinkysaur fossil today. This dinkysaur skeleton's almost complete, except for a couple of bones in his feet, and the parts where his legs and his ankle bones meet. Michael McLeam then let out a yawn, and he thought, of the places our classroom has gone, why, this is the boringest trip we've been on. They haven't got anything fun or exciting, like raptors in cages or carnosaurs fighting. They haven't got mammoths or saber-toothed cats or cavemen with bear skins and primitive bats. No, nothing exciting at all on display in the Natural History Museum today. They just have the curator, boring Miss Jones, and a dusty display of old dinosaur bones. And then, Michael said, why, I know what I'll do. I'll go out and start my own dinosaur zoo. I'll find me an island my zoo can call home with plenty of space for some dinos to roam. And then, one by one, or perhaps two by two, I'll find a few dinos to put in my zoo. I'll bring them back home to my island and free them and call it the Dinosaur Island Museum. I'll get an assistant named Wilbur or Horace to help me to capture a Brachiosaurus. This dino's so big and his neck is so long, his legs are so thick and his muscles so strong, you have to be sure you don't look at him wrong. To calm him, we'll sing him a lullaby song. The Brachiosaurus's brain is so small, I'm sure he'll be sleeping in no time at all. We'll tie him up tightly and set him to float on the deck of our dinosaur-capturing boat. Just think what the people will say when they see him at home in the Dinosaur Island Museum. They'll say, why, I've never seen anything like it. A dino so big, you could climb up and hike it. A dino so big, you could practically ski him. All thanks to the hard work of Michael McLeam. But I won't stop there. No, I'll have to have more. From places where no one has traveled before. In swamplands and jungles, I'll go and explore. And bring back a helmeted corythosaur, who uses the duckbill he has for a snout to dig in the muck and to pull the leaves out. And people will say, why, it's hard to believe. What else do you think Michael has up his sleeve? I'll go to the farthest of faraway places and bring back some creatures with very strange faces. Like a Stygimoloch with a head like a dome. I'll capture a dozen and bring them back home. I'll travel the world with occasional stops to pick up some beast like a Triceratops. A Stegosaur, too, with those spines on his back. And a long, spiky tail like a whip he can crack. You have to be careful he doesn't attack. So I'll bring him back home in my Stegosaur sack. Iguanodons, too. Why, I'll catch them in scores. And maybe a few dozen Apatosaurs. A few that have armor and clubs on their tails. And maybe a few that are bigger than whales. I'll bring back some dinos that travel in herds, and some that look something like featherless birds. I'll bring back so many and set them all free that folks from all over will have to come see. They'll travel from Fairbanks and Juneau, Alaska, from Omaha, Kearney, and Lincoln, Nebraska, from China, Afghanistan, India too, from Egypt, New Zealand, Tibet, and Peru. They'll travel by airplane, by ship, and canoe, by sub and by sailboat to visit my zoo. And won't they be stunned? They won't know what to say when they see all the dinos I have on display. They'll bring all their friends and their relatives too to show them the world's only dinosaur zoo. But that's not enough. No, not hardly enough. I'll have to get some that are terribly tough. I'll head to the desert on one of my treks and capture the biggest and meanest T-Rex. I'll even come back with a cage full of raptors to show I'm the bravest of dinosaur captors. These beasts are so fierce that most people would flee them. But raptors are no match for Michael McLeam. When folks see those raptors locked up in their cage, my dinosaur zoo will become all the rage. With people all over, no matter the age. Old people, young people, teenagers too, will want to come visit this wonderful zoo. And just when they think that I couldn't get more, I'll find some that swim and some winged ones that soar, like an ichthyosaur and a dimorphodon. Then people will say, oh, the places he's gone. Just look at the marvelous creatures he's caught. We'd gladly pay twice for the tickets we bought. Why, this dinosaur island's the world's greatest zoo. Is there nothing that Michael McLeam can't do? And when I've brought every last dinosaur there, from the desert, the jungle, the sea, and the air, I'll open my Dinosaur Island Museum, and people will flock to my island to see them. Yes, that's what I'll do, thought young Michael McLeam, as soon as we're done in this dusty museum.